The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
9:07 here on this Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. We have, for all of what we talk about our problems, we have so much for which we can be thankful, not the least of which is the fact that we are able to speak freely, speak our minds, and say what's on our minds. That's what we do here at 660 AM, The Answer. That's what Mark Davis does when he is here regularly. It's what I do when I fill in. The fact that we live in a free country, we can speak our minds freely, is a great gift for which we should be very thankful. We have on the line with us as our guest this segment, Will Hild. He is the executive director of Consumers Research. Will, welcome to the Mark Davis Show in North Texas. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
Tell me, just to start off, Consumers Research, what does the organization do?
Well, we are a consumer protection organization. In fact, we're the oldest one in the country, and we help educate consumers on issues important to them and amplify their voice in the marketplace.
So you obviously, the mission is in the name of the organization, research. You have research on what's going on in the economy and the fact here at Thanksgiving as we look at the holiday season, what things are costing?
Yes, a recent annual survey by Farm Bureau, which tracks the average cost for a Thanksgiving dinner of 10, just came out this past week. And unfortunately, it's another record amount. In 2020, 2 years ago, that cost was $47. Last year was $53. And this year is an eye-watering $64. We've seen a 20% increase 2 years in a row. So, unfortunately, we are seeing a really high record food inflation cost.
You know, I say this all the time, Will. You know, my wife and I, we're very fortunate. We are able, everything costs more. We know that. We are, because we work hard and we've enjoyed some success, we are able to withstand the higher prices for things and not be much affected in how we live. And I'm happy for that. I'm thankful for that. But 2 out of 3 Americans, according to the numbers, and I see if you agree with this, the numbers I see, 2 out of 3 are living paycheck to paycheck. So inflation is a real problem.
Absolutely. Inflation is taking a huge bite out of the standard of living for many Americans, probably the majority of Americans. Just in the last 12 months, we've seen the savings rate just drop. It's down near 3%. And the credit utilization, in other words, the amount of money people are putting on their credit cards, has skyrocketed. It went down during the pandemic as people got, you know, stimulus checks and paid down a lot of debt. It is now skyrocketed back to where it was and has gone past that. So clearly the American consumer is having a hard time keeping up with these inflationary costs. And so we hope that this will abide soon. But unfortunately, it looks like there's a number of factors that will probably continue to increase the price of goods for the foreseeable future.
I put a premise out this morning earlier in the show when I started the show a couple of hours ago. That you know, we're blaming a lot of people, shows like this, people on the right blaming Biden for inflation. I say it runs deeper than that. I'm saying it's not Biden inflation, it's Fauciflation. And the reason I say that is because I think the kindling for the inflation fire that we're now dealing with now was laid by Anthony Fauci and shutting down the American economy and the resulting paying people not to work, the fiat money, and the pumping of trillions of dollars into the economy with no supporting economic output. What do you say?
I think that's 100% correct. I'd say there's 3 main factors driving inflation right now. One, as you noted, we shut down the economy, and the supply chain snarls from that are still being dealt with today. Second, the amount of money that got pumped out to compensate for that, increase the money supply. In fact, 25% of all dollars that were ever created or printed were printed in the last 24 months. So it's a massive increase in the money supply. The third thing I would add to that is you have had something called ESG investing, which is really just a stalking horse for woke Wall Street executives to push corporate America to push progressive Democrat policies. The same kind of stuff that coming out of the Biden administration, destroying America's energy independence and production, that's been pushed by firms like BlackRock. And that is having an effect. We have underinvested in oil and energy discovery and recovery. We have attacked the agriculture industries through reduction in the amount of synthetic fertilizers. So we're seeing that in both energy costs and in food costs. So that's the third thing I'd add. But you're 100% correct. This all started during COVID.
You mentioned corporations. You know, in my growing up and in, you know, prior to when I arrived on the planet, American corporations were proudly and robustly capitalist. And now a very significant percentage of our corporate suites are occupied by leftists and wokists and are behaving in ways that I believe are anti-capitalist. What do you say to that?
It's 100% correct. You started this segment, you asked me what we do. The main thing that Consumers Research is committed to at this moment is calling out woke capital for this shell game that they're playing. When you see companies go woke, what that's telling you is they are trying to distract from their own mistreatment of their customers, their failings and misdeeds in the market. And we've been calling that out in an ongoing multi-million dollar ad campaign. But you're 100% correct. When you see these corporations go woke, what it should tell you is they are hiding something. And when you talked about when corporations were avowedly capitalist, well, they were doing a better job of focusing on their customers at that point. And this is a last-ditch effort to distract from their own failings.
The Consumers Research Executive Director Will Hild is with us. So, Will, are you willing to name names?
Absolutely. Last year, we ran ad campaigns against Nike and Coca-Cola, American Airlines, the nation's lowest-rated airline. That's the airline that decreased legroom during COVID. They lose the most bags. They kick the most passengers off of flights involuntarily. And the same year that you mentioned the COVID bailouts, the same year that they got a multi-billion dollar bailout, courtesy of the U.S. taxpayer, they paid their then CEO, Doug Parker, a 10-figure paycheck in the form of stock options. They would rather talk about anything than all of their failings. So what did they do? Their CEO went out in last year and went woke against the election integrity legislation moving through your fair state of Texas. So that's a perfect example of a Texas-based company that was failing its customers, failing in the market, having to be bailed out by the taxpayers, still paying their fat cat CEO tens of millions of dollars, okay? And then they go out and they go woke to distract from all that. That's a perfect example. And Nike and Coca-Cola have issues with forced labor in China. We went against Ticketmaster, another company that's gone woke, had to pay a $10 million fine to avoid felony charges from the DOJ for hacking a competitor. So over and over and over again, what we see is these woke companies, it's not because they're a place of virtue. It's because they're a place of vice, and they're trying to distract from that by virtue signaling and cozying up to woke politicians.
Here's the frustration I think a lot of people have, Will. You say the Coca-Cola company, say, okay, well, I won't drink Coke anymore. What you don't understand is how many other things Coca-Cola makes that you don't even you may not even know is a part of the Coca-Cola company. It gets really difficult to take your business elsewhere with the major American companies that control so much of the economy.
It's a great point. And in fact, we believe we're not a paternalistic organization. We don't tell consumers what they ought to do and who they ought to shop with. And you're right. If you want to leave Coca-Cola products, it's very difficult. One of the things we think, conservative folks in the past have maybe not understood is when you boycott a company, even if that shows up in the bottom line, they don't know why you boycotted the company. They may not know why sales went down. What we recommend people do is to use their voice. Call Coca-Cola, call American Airlines, tell them what you think about their woke activities, tell them why you're not going to use the product anymore. That will have way more effect if their phone lines are jamming up with people calling, disagreeing with their woke politics.
I'll tell you something else that I've seen to be very effective. I'm not a big fan of social media, but I've seen social media to be used very effectively against companies. They don't like it. And if you're going to use social media, that is one place you can bring some pain against a company who does you wrong.
100%. And that's exactly a lot of what we're saying. These companies, if you think about what they're doing, right, they're virtue signaling in order to distract from their failings. So if you call light to their failings, if you say, I know you're virtue signaling, I know you're going woke just to distract, well, that ends the whole charade. That ends the whole incentive to do it. So we fully support that. You should call out these companies in social media and tell them, you know, if it's other companies that have a brick and mortar location, talk to a manager, explain why, you know, you're upset about companies going woke. And it does have an effect because the left has been doing this for decades. They don't really use boycotts. They use the threat of boycotts.
Well, okay, you just segue into what I was going to ask you next. Let's give big companies the benefit of this doubt, this devil's advocacy. How much of that woke activity is driven as a defensive measure against unfair attacks from the left and rent-a-mob social media and unfavorable regulatory retaliation and the power that the left has to cause them pain?
Well, that's probably some of it, but the truth is, if that was the case, then why is it they're always caving to the woke activists and not the conservative activists? I think what this is power petitioning itself. They have a few, you know, they'll have a few people that complain on the left, and they'll use that as an excuse. I mentioned American Airlines. Doug Parker, the CEO, then CEO, he did that. He claimed that it was his workers who demanded he use the American Airlines brand to come out against the election integrity legislation in Texas, but he had absolutely no evidence that he had polled any of his staff. There was no indication. He was probably just talking around the marketing guy at the C-suite. So I don't really take their word for that, because they can always point to someone and say, well, we're being driven to this because of people inside the C-suite or our workers or woke activists. But it's weird how it only goes to the left, isn't it?
It is. And what about the Walt Disney Company pointing to the grassroots inside their own company, saying that they are justifying the sexualization of the movies they produce for children?
And that's a great example, because they pointed to their own employees in California going on, a day-long strike. Well, that's not who Disney serves. Disney serves American families. The American consumer is supposed to be who's served by Disney. I don't really care what the workers of Disney think. It's about the parents and the people of Florida, especially in that case, who they should be serving. So again, it's another example of power petitioning itself, where these woke CEOs use this as an excuse to do what they already wanted to do, and they claim that their hands are tied, even though what their focus should be is on the American consumer. And the American consumer does not want their children sexualized by the Disney Corporation.
How do we get back to proudly capitalist corporations in America?
Well, Consumers Research is doing its part to end this by continually calling this out through multimillion dollar ad campaigns. We've started to reduce the incentive to do this, because if you know it, you're going to get called out for all of your failings, all the skeletons in your closet you're trying to hide, well, then it removes the incentive to cozy up to woke politicians. So I think we've probably reached the high watermark of the wokeism, probably in spring of 2021, but we have a lot of work to do. And unfortunately, the American consumer is going to have to just become a lot more vigilant in the ways that corporations are undermining their interests and then trying to virtue signal out of it. And Consumers Research is going to be on that battlefield educating consumers.
Will Hild, Executive Director of Consumers Research. How do people follow you and follow your organization, Will?
Absolutely. They can visit us at consumersresearch.org. That's consumersresearch.org.
It's consumers with an S. It's plural. Consumersresearch.org. All right, Will, listen, appreciate you being a part of the program today, and I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving.
You as well. Thank you so much for having me.
There he goes, Will Hild, Consumers Research Executive Director. Here we go. More of the Mark Davis Show coming up after the break. Stay with us. We started the show off this morning talking about the departure of Lord Anthony Fauci. May he go away in peace and never bother us again. And what he touched off in terms of the negative economic impact on the country, the horrific impact on school children, horrific impact on small business, and the breathtaking hypocrisy that took place during the COVID pandemic. This time, I reminded myself of something that I wrote this time 2 years ago at youtellmetexas.com when I was talking, this is November of 2020, when I was talking about the hypocrisy taking place by our elite leaders with respect to COVID, how they were telling us to behave while they themselves behaved differently. Do you remember Austin Mayor Steve Adler? He hosted a wedding reception for his daughter, wedding and a reception for his daughter, and 20 guests at a local restaurant. The next day, he and seven guests hopped aboard a private plane and jetted themselves off to Cabo, where they vacationed for a week. While he was on the trip, he put out a sanctimonious Facebook video urging his subjects to, quote, "stay home if you can. We may have to close things down if you're not careful," end quote. And then he gets caught, and these guys are so arrogant, they're always surprised when they get caught. He issued a mumbling apology to the effect that he regretted what he did and in hindsight would have done better and yada, 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 yada. That was one example in the Thanksgiving season 2 years ago of breathtaking hypocrisy. Let's go to Denver. In advance of the Thanksgiving holiday, Mayor Michael Hancock issued statements via social media urging everybody to stay home and avoid travel over the holiday. Those communiques went out just as Mayor Hancock was boarding a flight from Mississippi to be with his family who had already left town. Then we had New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who actually wrote a book telling us what a brilliant job he did dealing with COVID. He had to disinvite his mother from traveling to Albany for Thanksgiving because I guess it slipped his mind that he told New Yorkers they couldn't travel, but his mother could travel. And then we go to California, which is where liberal hypocrisy reigns, where every stupid liberal thing seems to get hatched and amplified. Prior to Thanksgiving, Governor Gavin Newsom issued an astonishingly detailed list of do's and don'ts, mostly don'ts, with respect to the Thanksgiving holiday dinner. And when we say detailed, we mean detailed down to specifics as to how many could attend. 10, all had to be masked. Where they could sit outside, they had to sit outside, and how they might be permitted to use the bathroom, which was basically try to hold it because you couldn't go inside. He was then, after having issued that communique, observed at the very Tony, very posh French Laundry restaurant in the Napa Valley at a well-attended birthday party for a top lobbyist. Everyone was inside. No one was wearing a mask. This is why people like us, this is how a Donald Trump became possible. Because what do these people I just told you about have in common? All of them have a D behind their names. I've said this a thousand times to people I talk to, have said it many times on the air and in writing. There is no greater hypocrite in the world than a rich liberal. What do you have to say between now and the top of the hour? It's your show, 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. If you don't have time to talk, you can text on the Patriot Mobile text line, also 866-660-5759. More of the Mark Davis Show coming up after Nikki Whaley in the newsroom. Stay with us. It's coming up on 9:36. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here at 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Love to hear from you via the phone, 866-660-5759, or the Patriot Mobile text line, also at 866-660-5759. You know, earlier this year, back in February, David Brooks, he's the token conservative at the New York Times, and his conservatism is relative and can only be called such by way of comparison to his New York Times colleagues. Anyway, he wrote a piece called "America is Falling Apart at the Seams." And the piece laments the fact that the social fabric is fraying, that we're divided and at each other's throats, and that drug use and depression are on the rise, while charitable giving is on the wane. And near the end of the piece, he writes, "What the hell is going on? The short answer, I don't know." Well, David, let's see if we can sort this out. The actual short answer is people who get up every day and go make the country work are tired of getting screwed by the people you hang around with. And how so? How so, do you ask? Well, you know, we don't have enough time, but let's just start with the fact that millions of poor, uneducated, social services-consuming peasants are being encouraged by Joe Biden, our president, to illegally invade the country. Not merely being allowed to invade the country, being encouraged to invade the country. Then we have the inflation that we've been talking about all morning here on the show. Gallon of gas that cost $2 and some change when Donald Trump left office went as high as $5 a gallon. It's about $3.50 today. Gallon of milk at $2.90 pre-pandemic, about $3.80 now. People like David Brooks can take that kind of expense in stride. Millions of working people can't. Thousands and thousands and of small independent businesses into which owners had invested the entirety of all their personal wealth were forced by elitist government officials to shut down during the pandemic, while quote-unquote essential businesses like Walmart and Target stores were allowed to remain open. Target saw its stock price triple during the pandemic. Millions of small businesses failed during the pandemic. On the subject of the COVID lockdowns, foisted upon us by the retiring Lord Fauci, Johns Hopkins University confirmed in a study they released in January of this year, which was barely reported on, but they confirmed what many of us believed from the start of the pandemic, and risk public cancellation for saying out loud. Locking down put individual liberty in great peril while doing more harm than good. It's not me, talk show guy, saying that. Johns Hopkins University did an exhaustive study. I link to it at youtellmetexas.com. You can read it. I read every word of it. And it was well-researched, well put together, well-supported, well-documented. The lockdowns did more harm than good. Also, on the subject of COVID, we were told that we had to vax up, mask up, and shut up or else. Why then, throughout the pandemic, did we keep seeing Democrats and lefty swells out in public having a grand old time? Like I just mentioned, California Governor Gavin Newsom hobnobbing without a mask at the French Laundry restaurant. Matt Damon, Jay-Z, and others maskless at the Super Bowl when everybody was told at the Super Bowl they had to wear a mask. We've come to understand that when it comes to wearing a mask, when it comes to abiding by rules put forth by unelected bureaucrats and people who never got to vote for, that rules are for little people. We've not even talked about the unprosecuted crimes of the BLM riots and the mayhem that took place in our cities across the country in 2020. It's all of this is really of a piece. Working people, the people that Ivy educated elitists insist come on the double when their air conditioning goes out, are tired of the dripping condescension. They're tired of the hypocrisy. They're tired of rules for thee, but not for me from lefty elites. That's why Mr. Brooks, David Brooks, token conservative of the New York Times, that's why people are at each other's throats. That's why people are grumpy. Look around you. It's not that hard to figure out. Government has stopped serving us. We don't have representative government anymore. We have a government that has been taken over by a permanent bureaucracy. We have a legislature that has allowed its authority and its place in the well-considered, well-crafted constitutional republic. We have a legislature that has allowed its prerogatives to be usurped by unelected bureaucrats, by unelected executive branch officials. We have regulations that act as the force of law. We have a government that is not responsive to our needs and what we want. We are being told how to live by people we didn't vote for. This is why we're in the funk that we're in. This is why we're at each other's throats. This is why the country is more divided than it has ever been. We are losing representative government. What do you think? 866-660-5759 from the Patriot Mobile text line. Donald Trump and Teddy Roosevelt have a lot in common. May the former learn from the mistakes of the latter. I can see why I will not vote for anyone but Trump because of weak people like you and Mark. Paul, you're my favorite guest host. I agree with you most of the time, and I don't even agree with Mark that much. Happy Thanksgiving. I didn't say I won't vote for Trump. I'm saying we need to very, very carefully consider whether Trump is the most electable guy in 2024, given all that has happened since 2016. I'm not anti-Trump. I'm pro-America. Appreciate the text, by the way. 866-660-5759 if you'd like to weigh in via text, if you don't have time to wait online, if you don't have time to wait on the phone. I'd love to hear from you on the phone as well. I'm not anti-Trump. I'm concerned about Donald Trump's electability, given everything that has gone on, and given the fact that he, as much as I admired his presidency and as much as I admire his policy positions and as much as I believe in how right he is about putting America first, about having a robust economy, about having a low-regulation economy, about having a robust military, about standing up to thugs like Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping and that little fat kid from Korea. As much as I agree with him on all of those things, and I think Donald Trump's presidency was exemplary from those policy standpoints, my problem, the problem I have with Donald Trump is he has this apparently ungovernable side of him that says things and does things that turns people off on the margins. And the problem is we can't elect anybody if we don't win on the margins. You'll never win the presidency. You won't win any office just by having the support of your base. You have to go beyond your base. You have to win out there on the razor-thin margins in order to win the presidency. The presidency was lost to Joe Biden by fewer than 45,000 votes in three key counties. Three counties, 45,000 votes. It's that thin. Well, Paul, the election was stolen. Maybe so. So if that is a fear that you have, that nefariousness could impact the election, that is an even greater argument for not turning off, not pointlessly and gratuitously and needlessly alienating people on the margins. You need to win on the margins, not lose on the margins. I got past some of the cringy things that Donald Trump said. I got very quickly able to just let that roll off my back. But that's me. I'm a committed, rock-ribbed conservative, and I was watching Donald Trump govern as a conservative. He was doing things that I, as a conservative, had been wanting done for 20 or 30 years. If his cringeworthy statements and his make you kind of recoil things that he would occasionally do, if that was the price I had to pay to get a true conservative sitting in the Oval Office making the decisions, I was willing to pay that price. But that's me. You have to win the people that aren't as rock-ribbed as I am and as you listening might be. You have to win those people that are out there on the edge that can go either way. They can either vote for the opposition or just not show up at all. Because we Republicans lost the 2020 election by a razor-thin margin. We're talking about out of 150 million, 160 million votes cast, 45,000 made the difference. Do the math on that. It is a tiny, tiny fractional percentage of the vote. And that's my only problem with Donald Trump, is my fear that he will do things like what he did the other day, gratuitously with no provocation whatsoever, going off on Ron DeSantis and Glenn Youngkin. He had no reason to do that. It served no one for him to do that. And he could have not done that and not in any way fail to help his cause. He didn't need to do it, and yet he did. That's my fear about Donald Trump. And that's, so I want that on the record. If Donald Trump winds up being the nominee, you can count on me to support him. You can count on me to vote for him. You can count on me to support the policies that he puts forth if he wins the nomination. But just like a championship football, baseball, or basketball, or hockey team, just because you've won the championship doesn't mean you don't have to go out and earn it the next season. And that's what Donald Trump has to do. And my fear is that he's going to have a hard time doing that. And that's why I think it is healthy for us to consider alternatives. That's what I think here on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I hope that makes it clear. I've been getting an awful lot of negative input from you folks who think I hate Donald Trump and want to get rid of him. No, I don't. I certainly want Trumpism to hang around, but maybe we need to move beyond Trump. Maybe. It's worth asking the question. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. Back to wrap it up after this. Stay with us. 9:53, it's Paul Gleiser for Mark Davis here on 660 AM The Answer. Tomorrow and Friday, best of shows of the Mark Davis Show. And then on Monday, Mark will be back here. Here with me right now, though, is producer extraordinaire Rhonda K. Moreland. Hello, Rhonda.
Well, another great show, Paul. But I have to say, you know, I cannot wait till you're sitting at the table when your daughter, I'm assuming your daughter's coming in.
Yes, yes.
And I cannot wait till you're sitting at the dinner table for Thanksgiving and you use the word cringy. She's going to be like, Dad, who have you been hanging out with?
Some of the stuff is cringy. Yeah, I want to ask you something, because this person on the Patriot Mobile text line says that Mark and I are weak people.
Don't kill the messenger.
I want you. You've worked with me. We know each other very well, and you work with Mark every day. Are we weak people to you?
Y'all are certainly not weak, either one of you. No way. I wouldn't even. Now, I do feel like I could take you on an arm wrestling match.
Oh, I'm not. Listen, I'm just not even going to put that to the test, because I don't need the embarrassment. I'm sure you could take me in arm wrestling. But on terms of what we believe, what Mark and I believe, neither one of us is weak.
Well, you're both fighters, and that's the thing is, you know, when people reach out, and sometimes they only want to pitch their guests to Mark, and they're like, well, I don't know who's filling in. And, I'm like, look, Paul is solid, and I trust him with your boss, and so please, you know, feel free to let him in. And you are. It's because you're tough, and you're going to ask the tough questions. And so how is that anything but a fighter that they're asking for?
Well, okay, so is it not entirely appropriate to ask the tough questions about, is Donald Trump electable in 2024 in the same way he was in 2016? Is that not a fair question to ask?
It's absolutely a fair question, and it's a question that I hope that our listeners will really contemplate and stop thinking, hey, just because we want to see what the full field looks like, that they'll start accusing us of Trump haters. I mean, we absolutely, you and I and Mark and those that aren't just quite ready to pull the trigger on a primary when we haven't even seen a full slate. Rick Perry was on last week, Governor Perry, Secretary Perry, and he was like, show me what you got. I want to see what the Republican has. Show me what you got, Republican Party, before I make a commitment to any candidate.
Absolutely, and that's what the primary season is for.
It's the playoffs, like the caller the other day said.
Absolutely.
Let me see the playoffs. Let's play out the season. Let's see who makes it to the playoffs. Let's see who makes it to the Final Four, to the championship game, and then who comes out the winner.
I am concerned about Donald Trump's electability, because not because I have anything against Trump, but because I have everything. I'm everything for the United States, and we cannot afford to lose in 2020. And we cannot afford another disappointment like we had the other night.
Amen. Absolutely.
We can't have what happened a couple of weeks ago Tuesday happen again. We have to have a clear win in 2024, or we're in deep trouble. All right. So all of that out of the way, the bonus question today.
I love it when I get to join in the
okay,
bonus question.
Okay, bonus question today, Rhonda. You are on the radio. Bonus question is, what do you really want for Christmas?
I'm an acts of service person, so I love it when my family does something with me. I want my family to all go to the exercise class that I teach, and so that would be my ultimate. But if you were saying, no, Rhonda, you don't get to come out and do that act
some,
of
that's
service
some
thing.
Wishy-washy thing.
No,
what do you want under the
what
tree?
I'm happy with a great pair of sunglasses or a really nice, warm, fuzzy pair of slippers.
You're a fuzzy slippers person?
Oh, yes.
I would never have pictured you as a fuzzy slippers person. Are
those
you
are
really?
My two material things that okay. if I could have endless counts of. Great fuzzy. Sunglasses and wonderful slippers.
I could see you in some hot-looking sunglasses, but the fuzzy slippers I would never have thought.
Yes, yeah.
Listen, it's always been, you and I have always, when I'm filling for Mark, particularly before holidays, we've always wrapped up the show. It's fun doing that.
You Thank and I just you. Thank you for there, filling in.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for what you do to make it easy for me to fill in. Thanks, Matt, our technical director, for keeping the meters bouncing. And thank all of you for calling, being part of the show. God bless America. God bless Texas. God bless you. Have a happy and safe Thanksgiving, everybody. See you next time.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.